So this is the sugya of Haseba, and Haseba means to lean. It's that thing that people do. Where you have your chair, and then you know more often than not people have like a pillow, and then when you drink your kos, your yayin, you lean to the left. That's how we understand Haseba to be today. So let's start going through the sources and kind of get a sense of what the objective is and how this halacha is structured. Okay, so this, we start off with the Mishnah on Sadi Tesamabez, which says that Afilu Ani Shebi Yisrael. So I assume everyone can see the screen. So even someone who's poor, Lo Yochal Ache Yisav. So even if you're poor, you cannot eat. Okay, now to make it simple, we're talking about during the Seder. You can't eat until you lean, right? So leaning is a requirement for eating. And the Rashbam explains in source number two, Vafilo Ani Shebi Yisrael Lo Yochal. The Arbeib Sachim, Ad Sheyesav Kederech B'nei Chorin, until you lean like free people. And how do free people lean? B'mita, right, on like a bed, V'ala Shulchan, Zeich L'Cheres. So what they're referring to is those, if you ever see those couches that are like kind of like this, and then they have like a thingy over here, like a mini sofa with like a little TV tray in front, that's kind of the image to picture when it comes to Haseba. So the way a wealthy person, so to speak, would lean would be on that type of bed with a shulchan. So if you're an ani, if you're someone poor, you don't have that, so then you wouldn't be chayef to do haseva. In other words, the Mishnah has a havamina. The Mishnah is saying you would think that a poor person, right, because he lacks the instruments or the kalim to do haseva, is excluded from doing it. So Kamash Malan, the conclusion of the Mishnah is no, he still is obligated to. And if you look, Tosfos and the Ritva echo this. Tosfos says, in number three, he says, Desalka Daitach, you would think, the Hasebas Ani, that the leaning of a poor person, Lo Chashiva Haseba, Dein Lo Al Ma'la Hasev, Ve'ein Zeder Cheres, because he doesn't have on what to lean, and that's not considered an expression of freedom. Note the two statements he makes, that first, it's not something, he doesn't have on what to lean, he doesn't have the normal leaning instruments, and therefore, and it's not an expression of chayrus. And the Ritva, source number four, adds as well, even a poor person, he's not able to lean, elo agabe safsal. So he has something to lean on, but he doesn't have the same thing that a rich person has to lean on. Okay? So right off the bat, we see a very, formulation of leaning. Meaning the Mishnah is a havamina that you would think, you would think that a poor person is not obligated to do haseva, right? Because he lacks the, let's say, kalim or the instruments to pull it off. And yet we conclude he still is obligated to. So the question we have to ask ourselves right off the bat is, so why would you think a poor person is excluded? Because we don't say that by matzah, we don't say that by maror. You would never say that because an ani, matzah, which is to remember the Exodus. You would never say that a poor person is excluded from that, nor would you say that a rich person shouldn't eat marah. So what is it about Haseba? What's the Gemara's concern? What's the Gemara's concern with Haseba, where it thinks that that it's something that you'll, an ani is excluded from, a poor person is excluded from, and yet we say no. At the end of the day, the poor person is still obligated in it. Okay, that's the first question we have to ask. So I think the approach. So does anyone want to offer possibility on the chat? Why would you think a poor person? What's the formulation of leaning that you would think a poor person is excluded? And then the Mishnah just says, or the Rishonim explain, that nonetheless, even though you would think that, at the end of the day, he is required to lean. So I think the answer would be like this. You see, we all know, as every Rishon has pointed out to us, that leaning, right, is an expression of freedom. How that's an expression of freedom? Hold on, someone has something here. Let's see, 1 second. It's not mentioned in the Torah. They don't feel it. Right, but the question is, so what do we care if they feel it or not? Because we don't say that by matzah, right? We don't say by matzah that whether the poor person feels freedom or not, he's obligated in it, right? But we do see one thing that, in other words, if we created a structure for what's the difference between haseba and, let's say, matzah. So matzah is a maisa achila. Matzah is an act of eating. But haseba is not an action of eating, rather it's how you eat something. And when the rabbis come along and formulate leaning, right, they're saying that in the very, we'll get to this in more detail soon, but in the very act of leaning itself, in the very act of eating, there is a way to eat things, okay? And that way of eating should be an expression of freedom. So the Mishnah's Havamina, its assumption is that if we treat this in an objective way and say that there's an objective, let's say, shear, for lack of a better term, like an objective amount or normal, let's say, measurement of an expression of chayrus, and they use the free person to do that, well, then if a poor person did it, it's not that he wouldn't feel any chayrus, but it would be deficient because there's an objective way to do it, and he lacks the means to do it. So it's not that there'd be no chayrus. There won't be. It's not that there's no freedom at all. It's just saying that by the poor person, if he lacks this objective mechanism of expressing freedom, so there's no reason for him to do it. It would be like doing an action with what's called a psul, with a defect. And so he wouldn't require a poor person to do a defective derech achila. There'd be no reason to create such a requirement. The poor person naturally would be excluded because it's a defective participation. So the chiddush in the Mishnah, and this is what makes haseba different than matzah. Matzah, if haseba was like matzah, it would be objective. But if it would be objective, then the ani would be excluded because in his framework, right, it would be a deficient expression of chayrus. And the objective in eating in such a way is to express freedom. But if we say haseba was set up, that each person must, when he eats, right, do the best possible freedom expression he could do, then the ani would still be chayiv. Meaning that for the rich person, right, using this fancy couch and table, that's the way he should do it. That's the maximum expression of freedom in his framework. But for the poor person, having a safsal, that's also the maximum expression of chayrus in his framework. So if you look at it based on the framework of the person, and the objective is to maximize the amount of chayrus that the person does, so then you can understand why they set up a haseba in such a way. Okay, there's two questions. Go ahead. Just to emphasize, haseba leaning is set up that each person in their own framework, based on who they are, has to have the maximum expression of chayrus in when they eat. And that's why, by the way, if you know, to show that I would double down on this, if someone had, let's say someone had money and they chose specifically to lean in a manner that was deficient, I'd say that's a psul. That would be a problem in how they're leaning. Every person has to figure out, you'll see how the Gemara switches over to make it more objective, that every person must maximize their chayrus. They have to maximize it. If we stopped right now, so I would say that the way we do it today kind of stinks, because having sitting on a chair with like a pillow on your left-hand side and leaning, that's not really like a maximum expression of chayrus. That's like, that's nice, right? Right, exactly. Leaning is, exactly, as Joe put it, right? Leaning, I assume you mean us. Leaning is a pain, right? It's not enjoyable to lean. I assume everyone agrees with that. I've yet to meet someone who says, wow, I really feel great leaning to the left. However, do I think we should go back to, especially in the era of social distancing, I'm all in favor of returning back to an era where everyone has a small couch and a table, and we all kind of spread out around our Seder. That's really the way that was done back in the time of the Gemara. Okay, but that's just kind of an introduction to getting to the main topic, which is what the structure of Haseba is. And it's a very important machlokas, a very important debate between the Rambam and basically every other Rishon about the structure of Haseba. So the Gemara says in number 5, Vafilo ani shebi Yisrael, so even a poor person, lo yochal ache yesav, so he should not eat until he leans. And the Gemara says, itmar, matzah tsarech haseba. So matzah requires haseba. Now this is very important, the next word the Gemara says. Maror ein tsarech haseba. So maror does not require haseba. Okay? Does not require haseba. Now let's be careful here. I know we all know, when you look at your Maxwell House Haggadah, or whatever Haggadah you use, it'll say in the section of Maror, do not lean, okay? And I don't think it ever says in Haggadah, you don't have to lean. I'm pretty sure most Haggadah say, don't lean. But if you look carefully at the language of the Gemara, it doesn't say you can't lean, it just says there's no requirement to lean. That's going to be a very important point when we get into the Rambam's position. But again, just to emphasize, matzah, you must lean. Maror, not so sure. Okay, and the arba kosos come up after this. I don't know if we'll have time to get through all the arba kosos, but the four kosos also, you have to lean for them as well. Okay, so you look at source number six, the Rambam says as follows. The Rambam quotes the Mishnah, which says, "Behold, Dovador Chayav Adam." Now, this is one of the most famous Girsa issues. "Behold, Dovador Chayav Adam Leharos." Now, normally, in most Haggadahs, it says Liros, to view yourself. Now, the Rambam didn't like this idea of trying to see yourself as if you, Ki'iluhu Ba'atzmo Yatza, Ata Meshiba Mitzrayim. He doesn't buy into the idea of actually being able to see yourself as if you left Egypt. And I know that people today like dressing up, but there's no possible way that if you think that by dressing up and kind of imitating what it was like to be a slave, you couldn't even scratch the surface of what it means to go from slavery to freedom. So the idea of Liros, to like see yourself in such a way, even if it meant putting on a theatrical reenactment of being enslaved and dressing up in togas or whatever it might be, that's very nice, but that doesn't come close to what the Mishnah is requiring you to do, to really internalize it. Thus, the Rambam changes it to Laharos. Now, that means more of a demonstration. Now, how does one demonstrate the idea of going from enslavement to freedom? Well, in Halacha Zion, he says, Lefikach, kishes soed adam balayla zeh. Okay, so for now, let's translate soed as eating. Okay, we'll modify that soon. But the Rambam says, when someone eats on this night, tzarech lechol v'lisho suhu mesav derech eris, he must eat or drink, right, in a way where, leaning as an expression of freedom. So the Rambam holds, every single time you eat, you're supposed to eat, right, or drink, right, leaning. That would mean karpas. That would mean shulchan aruch. Anything that you consume. If you have a cup of coffee during magid, you always should lean. But he qualifies in halacha ches, because he says, ve'emasai tzrichan haseva, b'shas achilas kezayis matzah, uvishtias arba kosos ha'elu. But the Rambam does say tzarech above, but he qualifies that by saying, when do you really have to do haseva? You have to do haseva when you eat matzah and when you drink arba kosos. Okay, so when you eat your matzah and drink your arba kosos, that's when you must do haseva. But he says, ushar achilas osos yaso, but any other eating or drinking you do, if you leaned, im hesav, or raise them a shubach, it's praiseworthy. Vim lav eno tzarech. So when he says tzarech, again, lefichach kishes soed adam balayla hazeh, he's saying, when is the chiyuv, the obligation to lean, is really when you have matzah and mar, matzah and arba kosos. But what he means to say is, but you should lean every time you eat or drink during the Seder night, that including dinner, including shulchan aruch, every single time. Okay? That's the Rambam. Tosfos comes along in source number 7, and the Rush backs it up, and you'll see we're going to switch over to this brisk grub in a second, but Tosfos says that, v'tzarech iyan im shachach v'lo hesa v'im yachzor v'yishta. And the Rush adds to that, v'im achol b'lo haseba, yachzor v'yochol b'haseba. So Tosfos says, let's say a person ate his matzah, and he forgot if he leaned or not. So he said, it's a question, if the person has to go back and have the matzah again, doing haseba, as well as the Rush. The Rush also says, he goes further, the Rush says, if I ate my matzah without leaning, I would have to go back and eat my matzah again with Haseima. Now, I'm not going to get so much into the mechanics of this, but it's an astonishing idea that the Rush would obligate you to do this. Why is it astonishing? Because Haseima is a derabanan. So you're telling me that the rabbis came along and tinkered with the DNA of matzah to the point where they said, if you didn't do it this way, you'd have to go back and do the matzah all over again, okay? And I'm going to switch over right now on the screen to this piece by the Brisker Rav, who really brings out the debate between the Rambam and Tosfos beautifully. He says over here, he quotes the Rambam, okay? And I'm going to pick up from right over here. He says, "Medivrei haRambam." So again, the Rambam says that you do haseba whenever you eat or drink, right? Every time you eat or drink, you should lean, but you must lean when you have your matzah and your four kosos. So he says, "Mivuar de mitzvahs haseba hi mitzvah b'fnei atzma." So he says, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of haseba is actually its own mitzvah b'fnei atzma. It's a separate obligation. Meaning, I have an obligation to eat matzah, I have an obligation to drink arba kosos, and I have an obligation to lean. It's separate from the institution of matzah and arba kosos, and that's why he says, "Shiyochav isha b'layla zeh who mesav derech eris." Elo dechachamim kavu lemitzvah zu. Bishas achilas hamatzah shesias arba kosos. But the sages said that when should you do the mitzvah of haseba, this independent mitzvah of leaning? when you do matzah and arba kosos. Aval al kopanim mitzvah fnei atzmahi. But nonetheless, it is its own mitzvah. V'lo midinei mitzvah shel matzah v'arba kosos. And it's not built into the institution of matzah and arba kosos. So of course, Tosvos, as the Brisker Rav would explain, Tosvos would argue and say, no, he would say that the mitzvah of haseba is built into the mitzvah of matzah and arba kosos. Okay? So again, the way the Brisker Rav lays it out, and I'm just going to explain a little further, the Brisker Rav wants to say that according to the Rambam, haseba is a separate commandment. The rabbis created a separate commandment. But they said, when should you do it? That commandment is supposed to be done when you have matzah and arba kosos. But otherwise, there's a separate commandment that every time you eat or drink, if you can, you should try and lean. And you must do it when you have matzah and arba kosos. But Tosos and the Rush say no. They say built into the very institution of matzah and arba kosos is the obligation to lean. It's built into its actual obligation. So this sounds like a very like a ticky-tack type of debate. And the Brisker Rav, it sounds like on the surface that he's not giving like such a deep idea. But I think he's something saying, I think he's saying something very, very important. Someone had a question? That's a great question, Harvey. It's hard to imagine they would obligate you to say the bracha again because it's suffik brachos lahakel, right? It would be very wild for me to think they would do that, right? So I think what they would say is you have to do the action of drinking without a bracha, leaning, or by matzah as well, right? That's what I would say, okay? Now the Tosos and the Rush are easy to understand because what they're saying is like what I said before. There's an obligation to consume matzah and arba kosos, right? You must consume them. And now what Chazal do is they come along and they create an enhancement. They're enhancing the act of eating by giving you a way to eat it. So naturally, that's how they could build it into the very institution itself. They could say that there's the act of eating and then there's a certain way to eat these mitzvahs, okay? So that's easy. That's Tosos and the Rush. But the question we have to ask on the Rambam based on the Brisker Rav is a very important question. According to the Rambam, why do I have to eat the matzah and have the arba kosos while leaning? Why did the Rambam just say, every single time I eat during the Seder night, whether it's karpas, whether it's maror, whether it's shulchan aruch, I have to lean? Or say, no, it's a kiyum, right? Why does the Rambam, if the Rambam truly believes it's a separate mitzvah, why does he choose matzah and the arba kosos? Why not just say, every time I eat, I have to lean? That'd be the easiest way to express this idea of haseba being a separate mitzvah. And this is a very important point. Again, according to Tosos and the Rush, it's built into the very institution of matzah and arba kosos. But according to the Rambam, it's not. And yet the Rambam tells us that you must lean when you consume your matzah and arba kosos. So the question is why? Why should that be the case? Why does the Rambam choose matzah and the arba kosos? So I think you'd have to say like this, okay? There's a fascinating tension that exists throughout the Seder night, and it's a very important insight into what makes the Seder so unique. Let's put philosophy to the side. As a halachic construct, what makes it so unique? So let's take matzah. Let's take maror. Okay, maror is a good example. Okay, actually no, I'm sorry, matzah. Let's take matzah. So what bracha do you make on matzah before you eat it on the Seder night? Well, you make two brachas. You make hamotzi, and you make alachilas matzah. Meaning, what is this? Well, on one level, on one plane in halacha, this is bread, right? And what you do with bread is your koveya seuda. Your meal requires bread. And on the Seder night, you make a hamotzi on your matzah because your koveya seuda, you're making your meal with your matzah. Just like any other meal you would have during the week. Anytime you have bread, granted this is unleavened bread, but anytime you have bread, what's the halacha? You make hamotzi, and that creates your meal. And then what does the Torah do, so to speak? It superimposes another reality onto lechem. And that's called the mitzvah of matzah, that I'm obligated to consume matzah on this night. So it's a superimposed identity onto food. So there's the fact, when you have your matzah, there's two realities taking place. There's lechem, right? The fact that this thing is bread, just like any other time I have a meal. That's why I make hamotzi on it. But it's also oni. That idea of mitzvah emerges. Same by maror. And in fact, that's why some want to argue by maror. I think we did this last year, but some want to argue by maror that since maror is a mitzvah, so some want to say that I would have to make a separate bracha rishona nachrona after I make hamotzi on matzah on my maror. The Rashba held that way. And the reason why is because maror, it's not just a vegetable. On one plane, it's a vegetable. Therefore, you make a bari pri adama. On a second plane, it's also a mitzvah. So you have these two institutions, so to speak, colliding on a Seder night. It's a very unique experience. We don't have this at all during the year. On the Seder night, we have a phenomenon of fusing together of the world of normal foods, where we have Birchas Nenin, where the rules of meals. And on top of that, we also have this idea of a unique mitzvah. I think that's the target of the machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos is saying that Haseiba is attached to the mitzvah aspect of these foods, right? So the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of the Arba Kosos require Haseiba. But I think the Rambam, it's not a coincidence that the Rambam says, if you go back up to the source, look at his language. He's very precise. He says, Lefikach kishes so'ed adam b'layla hazed sarach lechov lishtos. So'ed. What's in the word so'ed? Se'uda. Okay? The two primary foods that we build meals off of in any halachic suda are wine and bread. And how do we know that? Because if you make a bracha on bread, you don't have to make a bracha on anything else that's normally part of the meal. And same with wine. When I make a bor pri gafen, I don't have to make a bracha anymore on any other drink that I have. Okay, so why arba kosos? You can argue that they took the idea of wine anytime I had that substance, since its function is to be kovei suda, that's why I have to lean for it. But I think the idea is clear in the Rambam. The Rambam's saying that the mitzvah of haseiba is not tied to the mitzvah of matzah and arba kosos. It's tied to the idea of both those things functioning as se'uda. And that's why the Rambam says, as a mitzvah, haseiba is all about how you eat tonight. It's not about the eating of those mitzvahs. It's the eating of the Seder night. Every time you eat during the Seder night, you should recognize, you should demonstrate, I'm eating a freedom eating. But you would use the foods that the very meal are dependent on to attach the obligation of haseiba to. And one other proof that I think that's why the Rambam is saying that is in the 8th chapter, where the Rambam actually goes through the Seder of the night. He goes through, so to speak, the order, not the actual Haggadah, but he goes through the order of what he called, of what you do. He never mentions at any point in time the obligation of haseiba. He doesn't say, when you eat your matzah, do it with haseiba. He doesn't say, when you eat your drink your arba kosos, do it with haseiba. He never says that. And the reason why, in my opinion, it makes a lot of sense, because he's telling you it's not attached to the mitzvos of Laila. In Paraches, he's talking about all the commandments of the evening. But that's not what it's tied to. It's a separate commandment that when I eat tonight, I should eat in a certain way. That's what I think the Rambam Svar is. So one more time, and then before I take any questions, again, the machlokas, I think, between Tosos and the Rambam is, what is Haseiba, what's the mitzvah Haseiba going on? Is the mitzvah Haseiba going on the matzah, the mitzvah shel matzah, and therefore now it's built into the very matzah itself? Or is it going on achila per se, right? And then, of all the things that I eat, it's those things that I'm koveya suda with that the mitzvah should be expressed through. But otherwise, it's a din in achila salayla. Okay, questions. So that's a great question. So you could argue that, good question. So you could argue, one argument you could make is you could say that that the bracha only goes on a maisa shel achila. All the brachos, that question comes up by charoses. Right, if a charoses is a mitzvah, why don't we make a bracha on it? So we say charoses, its function is to be like the condiment of the night. So it could be that since haseiba, it's a real question if it's a real maisa. I mean, it's like a funny, like, I'm not sure if it would be considered a discrete action. The other thing is that according to the Rambam, because it's not tied to a specific food per se, it's just saying that when I'm koveya suda, I should do it that way. But it's a good question. I got to think about that. It's a good question. It's a good question whether you conceive of making a bracha on it. I'm not sure. But it's not, you know, Harvey, all due respect, it's not a knockout kasha, but it's a good question. I got to think about that. So now the next part in the Gemara. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, one more point. So now it makes sense why, according to the Rambam never mentions not doing haseiba by mar, okay? Because the Rambam would say that, listen, when the Gemara says ein sarach haseiba, it's saying because it reminds you of it being enslaved in Egypt, right? But the Rambam never says this, by the way. In his Haggadah, he never says by mar not to lean. It's a fascinating thing. He never says that. Never says you don't have to lean by Mara. So I don't think the Rambam would have a problem with that. I don't think the Rambam would ever say it's a problem leaning for Mara. The Gemara, now this is also a very well-known Gemara. The Gemara is a fascinating tension. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara now, the Gemara has a very, what do you call it? The Gemara now is a very famous tension that exists within the Arba Kosos. So the Gemara says, Yayin, Itzmar Mishmed Rav Nachman, Sarach HaSeba, Vitmar Mishmed Rav Nachman, Ein Sarach HaSeba. So you have a conflicting, or a worse than that, a stira, a contradiction in two statements by Rav Nachman. On the one, he says, when I drink the Arba Kosos, I'm required to lean. On the other hand, he says, I'm not required to lean. So how could it be? Velo pligi, ha bitarti kase kamai, ha bitarti kase basrai. So the question is, which kosos are we talking about? Are we talking about the first two or the last two? And then just to make things even more complicated, the Gemara says it depends. Amri la lahai gisa tre kasi kamai bo haseba. So one way to learn is to say the first two cups require haseba. The hashtahu deka mitchil maschil achayeris, because you're beginning your freedom then. Tre kasi basrai lo bo haseba, mai dahava hava. But the last ones don't require it because I finished. I already did my chayrus. I already talked about my freedom, and now I don't have to worry about it. I'm yotzei my freedom, and that's it. So the last two would not require haseba. The other way to learn is adarabba, trei kasi basrai bo haseba. The last two I have to lean. Hahi shaita deka havi chayrus, because that's the hour of freedom. Trei kasi kamai lo ba haseba, but the first two I don't. That kasi avadamayinu kamar, because we're talking about the fact that we were enslaved in Egypt. How do we paskin? Hasha de itmar hachi, itmar hachi, since we have both sides, idiv idi bo aseba. So we just do them by both. Okay? So it's important to keep in mind that what makes arba kosos different than matzah is that in the arba kosos, every time you lean, there's like a tension. There's, on the one hand, it is a good leaning, but on the other hand, not so sure if you have to. Okay? As a complete aside, the Rishonim, I'm not going to take this up because of time, but the Rishonim ask, and Harvey, this is right up your alley, the Rishonim ask a very good question. They say, but one second, suffik derabanan lahakel, meaning if I have a doubt in rabbinical law, I should be makel, I should be lenient, and therefore I should never lean by the arba kosos. And so the Rishonim try to figure out different ways to answer that question. It's a very cute question of why you would still do haseba, knowing full well that there's a suffik, that there's a doubt involved. Okay, but putting that to the side, to me the interesting question here is within the Gemara itself. You have what's called sfaros hafuchos, which means, on the one hand, the first position says you should lean for the first two cups because you're talking about freedom, right? And if you think about the trajectory, right, what do you say right before Borei Pri HaGafen? You say the bracha of Shir HaGaalnu. You talk about our redemption. That sounds very freedomish to me. On the other hand, at the same time, we do start with Avadim Hayinu. We start the section with the fact that we're enslaved. So I don't understand. In other words, why should you give weight one? Why should one outweigh the other? In other words, what kind of machlokas is this? What kind of debate is it to say that I should lean for the first two because it's chayrus, or I should lean for the last two because that's the shah of that's the hour of expressing freedom? How do we resolve this this tension? How do we resolve such a tension? But I think the answer is a very simple answer, because I think the answer is that there's a difference between engaging in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. In other words, that's Magid. Magid is the fulfilling of the commandment, right, of recalling our going from enslavement to freedom, right? So there, since we end off with freedom, right, so since we end off with freedom, from the halakhic standpoint, when do you fulfill your obligation of Sipur? When have you fulfilled your obligation of retelling the story of the Exodus? Right at that moment, when you say Asher Ga'alna. That's exactly the moment when you can say, I fulfill my obligation. So the one end, I would say, I should have it by the first two cups. On the other hand, though, it's only when you're in a state of freedom that now you can go ahead and say halal. Well, obviously, what the second side is referring to is halal. Halal is one of those things where I kvetch about this every year. It always depresses me that that's the part of the Haggadah that people, not everyone, but lots of people race through. And it's very sad because you're supposed to actually feel. The Baal Mor actually said the reason why you need the Tam Korban Pesach in your mouth at the end of the meal, or today the Afikoman, the Tam Matzah, the flavor should still be in your mouth, is to remind you to say Halal. Because normally when a meal ends, you're done and you go home. But what makes this night different is that you must say Halal. And the words that we're saying, it's really taking our emotional, like a feeling of freedom and the thanks we want to give to God and putting it into words. So we really should take our time and focus and really express halal to the highest extent. So that's what I think the Gemara is saying here. The Gemara is saying there's two aspects. There's the halachic mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So once I'm yotzei that, I can argue I've done my action of chayrus. But then there's the state of the gavra, that there's a certain state the individual's in, that now that I am free, now I give a certain type of praise to God, and that demands leaning when I drink the kos. So that's the machlokas in the Gemara, okay? Now, sliding along, now we get to a little bit, another interesting back and forth in the Gemara, which is going to be, how do you do haseba, okay? So first the Gemara says, proktan, okay, in source number 10, lo shmei haseba. What's proktan? Right? It's one of those words that has no natural translation. So the Rashbam says, it's when I'm leaning on my back, or let's say I'm leaning flat, I'm inclined all on my back, right? V'shochev al-chorav. Okay, so my face is facing up, and I'm leaning back. Whereas Tosva says, it's not leaning back, it's not leaning on my stomach, right? Rather, it's leaning on my back. Meaning that Tosos wants to learn, don't think it ever means I can lean on my stomach, right? And be yotzei haseva. So again, the key thing to focus on for us, because the Rambam disagrees with that and says it doesn't matter if I'm leaning on my back or my stomach, either way I can't do it. What we want to understand is, what for our sake, in this time slot, we have to understand, what's the problem with leaning, with lying down? Why can't a person say, listen, if you want to see how free I am, so a guy lies down all the way backwards. I have this easy chair in my office, so when I lean all the way back, I feel really good. I feel super free, right? What's the problem with leaning, lying down all the way as an expression of haseba, right? I mean, Tosos gives it away. But why would you say that's a problem? What I would say is, well, listen, I'm most comfortable lying back. That's how I'm really comfortable lying flat. So why would I need to say that it's not considered haseba? So what would you say? Please, to make it simple, just all the Rishonim learn out, right, that proktan means I can't lie on my back, okay? I can't lie down on my back like I would in bed. Can't do that. So the question is, why not? Why can't a person lie down on their back and do haseba? What's the problem with that? Why is that bad? To me, that's a great expression of freedom. Why not do it that way? But well, okay, so let me ask you a question. When it says you can't eat that way, does it really mean you can't eat that way? Are you telling me you can't eat that way? They're not saying it's a health hazard, okay? But so it's not that you can't eat that way. Tosva said it's not that you can't, but what? I'm sorry? What I have to say is, what you're going to have to say is that when we say derech achila, so Joe's making one step. Joe wants to say, that's not the way people eat, okay? You could eat such a way. And I'd argue, Joe, that, and that's why the Gemara is bringing this in. The Gemara is telling you that you could make an argument that a person feels freest lying down on his bed. I just sprawl out of my bed. I feel great. But the problem is, it still has to fit within a certain surah, meaning there has to be a structure to the derech achila. It's not just simply go nuts with how free you feel. Rather, there's a structure to it. So the derech achila, right, the way it has to be a derech achila, meaning it's not just enough that the guy feels really free. That has to fit within the confines of enhancing my eating. So as long as it enhances the way I eat, it's taking eating and enhancing it. It's not saying just express freedom to the greatest extent. So there's a limitation. So the Gemara is coming right out and telling you, don't think it just means to feel as free as possible, because I'd argue I feel extremely good lying down on my bed. But that's not a derech achila. Not that I couldn't eat that way, but it means it has to be the way I eat with a modification, not a way I would normally never eat. There's a big difference between the two. So that's what the Gemara is expressing by proktan. Okay? Right, never lay flat, exactly. Now the Gemara says, in number 14, now comes the famous thing that people know. Hasevas yamin. Okay, now this is important. So, lo shma haseba. So if I lean on my right, it's not considered haseba. Now, let's understand, before we get into what the Gemara is about to say, there's obviously one premise we have to have in place here. So now the Gemara, and again, you have to always go slow when you do Gemara. I know Daf Yomi is very important, but if you don't appreciate the order, the process that the Gemara thinks in, you'll miss out some critical points. The first step in the Gemara is to show you that it's a modification of how you eat. The next step is, well, one second, but there's nothing telling us, right, which way a person should lean. So in halacha, when you have a default, right, we always default to which way? To the right. That's always the halachic default. So that's why the Gemara goes down the road of Havasebas Yamin. It's telling you, what would you have thought? you would thought that a person should lean to the right. That's the normal way. Excuse me. That's the halachic default for any action. When we don't know which direction to go in, halacha comes along and says, yamin, unless there's a reason otherwise. So someone will say, what about tefillin? Tefillin, they darshan out from the Torah. We know the chazal learn out from the Torah why it's your weaker, well, it's not left, why it's your weaker arm. But if you don't know, if there's no way to know, you always go towards the right. So the question, of course, is, well, then why not do the right here? So I'm just trying to set up the framework here. The Gemara asks this question because it's telling you the default would be to the right. That's why the Gemara doesn't go right to the, so to speak, no pun intended, to the left. It starts off with the right because that's what it should have been. Why isn't it? So now the Gemara is very difficult. It says, lo shema haseba. It's not considered haseba. Vilo od ela shema yakdim kana leveshet v'yavo ide sakana. Now that's the famous error in how the epigottis works, where the Gemara says, what's the problem? The problem is that if I lean towards the right, so then I'll choke. Now, of course, we know today that's medically incorrect. It doesn't go left-right, so there wouldn't be a problem of choking if I lean towards the right. That's what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam says, Hasebas yamin lav shma haseba, shaharei biyamino hutzarek lechol. And that makes a lot of sense. If I lean on my right side, it'll be very difficult for me to eat, okay? Because I use my right hand to eat. Don't ask about a lefty yet. I know. But the Gemara says, why can't you lean? Why isn't leaning on your right side considered leaning? Because I need my right hand to eat, right? Okay, but here's a problem. If you go back to the Gemara for a second, the Gemara says, Haseba siyamin lo shma haseba. Okay, that should be sufficient. But the Gemara says, and not only that, if I lean on my right, it's sakana sefashos. But let me ask you a question. If it's sakana sefashos, if it's a danger to lean on my right side, then why would I ever need the first reason? Why didn't the Gemara just say, Hasebas yamin, don't do it because if I do so, I'll choke. If it's a situation of sakanas nefashos, so of course I can't lean on my right side. So why do we need the first reason of leaning on my right side, it's hard for me to eat that way? And not only that, you should recognize it's a danger. But what do you mean? If I know already it's a danger, then I don't need the first reason. Why would I need the first reason for? Okay? It's such an important question. Okay. Now, one second, just to show you how the Rush tackles that, and then I'll take any questions. The Rush comes along and says, I'll tell you why you need both, because of the old lefty. Okay, because the Rush explains that living on the right is really for everybody. Okay, it's for everybody, right? For most people, because most people when they lean on their right, what's going to happen is they can't eat. But what do you do about the lefty, right? Or someone who doesn't, or the right's not the dominant hand. So he says, that's why you need the second reason. In other words, the danger of choking was only brought in for those southpaws, right? But if it weren't for the southpaws, you'd only need the first reason, okay? And that's not a very satisfying answer that the Rush is offering. What kind of answer is that? Okay, so how do we understand the Gemara here about leaning on the right? What's the Rush trying to express to us here? What's this idea? I think Chazal are trapped here. And this is a classic example of when Durbanon come along and create a mitzvah, how sometimes there's certain consequences they have to deal with. And this is a good example. I think the Rush is really bringing it to light. So let's think about it for a second. In other words, if the first point really is the main point, because why is leaning on my right not considered haseba? Because like we're saying all along, the leaning has to be an enhancement to my action of eating. But if leaning is counterproductive to my action of eating, right? Now, again, that's not the first, procton is not counterproductive. Procton is not even the way someone eats, okay? Here, we're saying something different. Here, what we're saying is I'm in my eating position, but now if in my eating position, the modification is counterproductive to my action of eating, so that can't be considered a haseva, okay? But the problem is that Chazal want to create a universal, meaning we don't want a situation that emerges where lefties, right, end up leaning on their right side. Meaning we want to create on their left side. Meaning we want to create a universal. We don't want a halacha to not include everybody. So it could be the Rush is pushing us to understand that Chazal, that the Gemara adds the second reason, not because it's the Iker reason, but just to make sure now everyone would have to be included. But that's not the real reason. The real reason is that leaning on your right side is just not is counterproductive to the action of eating. And they bring in this bonus thing of the choking hazard only to, so to speak, include everyone else who would be excluded from the problem of leaning on your right side. You understand? So I think it's more of a practice. It's not a sakana sefashos. Yeah. Oh, no. But tefillin's different because tefillin, they darshan out from the Torah. There's a mesora. They know tefillin. Oh, and by the way, it's not in your left. Tefillin's in your weaker arm. Right? And that's why, by the way, that's why Tosos actually has a suffix. Tosos wants to argue that if you're ambidextrous, it's, we don't conclude this, but it's a good havamina that someone ambidextrous is putter from tefillin. Because if I don't have a weaker arm, there's no arm for me to put it on. You must have a weaker arm to designate to put your tefillin on. But tefillin's different because tefillin, they learn out from the Torah that it must be on your weaker arm. But here by Haseba, they don't learn that out. They want it to be on your right side. But the problem with on your right side is that normally leaning on your right is counterproductive, which would undermine the very objective of Haseba. So that's why it can't be on your right. But the problem is that you'd have exceptions, and we don't like exceptions. So the Rush is saying the second reason brought in is really there to just make this a universal halacha. If we stop the conversation right now and said we're done, so what most people would say is, okay, well, today, I'll ask you, what should we do today? Okay, what should we do today? I mean, the halachic mind would say, well, once the sages are koveya, once they set into place, this is the way you lean, meaning you're obligated to do haseva, and the way you do it is leaning on your left. So it would seem like we're trapped, even though, I'll speak for myself, even though I don't find leaning on my left to be an expression of cheres, and I don't want to hear philosophy. Every Haggadah has some commentator who comes up with some reason why leaning on your left is cheres. Let's be honest. There has to be something experiential to it. And I can tell you right now, in my experience, right, when I lean to my left and I try to drink, it's not very comfortable. I don't feel very free. So the Rav Yah, who's a Rishon, okay, he notes this concept. He says in number 17, he says, V'chozol beso, v'yoshev v'haseba. You go back to your house and you sit leaning. Ubizman hazeh, she'ein regilus be'artzeinu l'hasev, she'ein regilus b'neichorin l'hasev, yoshev g'darcha. Okay? Meaning, people stopped leaning. Leaning was no longer an expression of freedom. Okay? It was no longer an expression of freedom. Meaning, there was normally in those days, let's say in the early days, in the times of the Gemara, there was a normal position eating, and then let's say a modified version of that, that modified version was considered an expression of freedom. But today, or as he says, no one does that anymore. Okay? Meaning free people don't lean. Okay? They don't lean anymore. So if that's true, then the question is, why we do Haseba today? And the Tor brings this down. In source number 18, the Tor says, he says, and he quotes the Avi Ezri, quotes from the Rav Yah, there's no need to do Haseba because people don't lean anymore. Leaning is not considered an expression of freedom. Okay? And I have a hard time imagining that they consecrated, again, from an experiential standpoint. And so halachically, I can understand saying, once it's this form, that's what it is. But from an experiential standpoint, I find it hard to believe that leaning transcends time, and even today I should feel that way. I just don't think that's true. And the Bach, and an out there thinker, the Bach does says, he says, now this is his svar, he says, Hilkach Yeshiva Kedarka, he endorses the Rav Yah. He says, Yeshiva Kedarka, sitting normally, Havi Derech Eres Olam. That is the expression of freedom. Lekach in Sarach Lahasev. Aval Imrat Lahasev Shapir. So he can't quite let go of that halakhic idea. But look what he's saying. He's saying that the normal way of sitting today is the expression of Cheres. That's what it is. There's no need to lean because there's nothing to contrast it against. Meaning if I sit normally, if I feel free when I sit normally, and then I lean, well, what's the point of leaning? Leaning should be a contrast. It should be the way I eat in contrast to my normal way of eating, meaning the way I eat is free, and the way I normally eat is not so free. But what if when I eat today, the way I normally eat is an expression of freedom? Then there's no reason to ever do a haseba. There's no reason to do it at all. Okay? And by the way, Joe, I added this on the bottom. I think you're out of your Yudbeis, but for those who are in Yudbeis Chodesh, he even says, V'avol tok Yudbeis Chodesh, hichrati v'tshuvasi, she'ein lo l'haseb ma'acher d'yeshiva k'darcha, havle derecheres, k'moshe k'osav Rav Yah. Okay? So he says that, there's no reason to do haseba for an avel because, and you could just sit normally, and you're accomplishing haseba in that way. But the Rav Yoh's position, I think, is, in my opinion, is very compelling. I'm not saying you shouldn't do haseba, so don't quote me on that. But it's interesting that if you look at haseba as an expression of chiras, it's hard to understand today why we still do it the way we do. If you had a couch, right? I think, as someone mentioned before, like the way royalty did, you had a big couch, you leaned. I can understand that, but I'd say today the normal way you eat is an expression of chiras. So if you believe that to be true, then haseba is certainly something that would not be a contrast. And even more so, if haseba is uncomfortable, if you feel uncomfortable leaning, I find it very hard to believe that you should still be doing haseba. In other words, if someone says, when I lean, I have a harder time, I feel uncomfortable, I have a harder time performing my mitzvah, I'm not sure whether they should do haseba or not. I mean, you have the Rav Yoh to rely on, and there's many achronim who talk about the Rav Yoh. There's many who take him seriously. He's not an outlier. So I think going into the Seder, it's something we should think about. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't do haseba, but you should be honest with yourself. And first of all, knowing the Rambam's position, and knowing full well that in my opinion, there's a compelling argument, right? Nice armchairs. But even on an armchair, Joe, right? Like, you can put your elbow on an armchair, but try leaning your body into an armchair. It's not comfortable. It pokes into your stomach. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't lend itself to that. But you're right. If someone could create a situation where they themselves felt freer, right, within the confines of halacha, you can't lie all the way back, but they felt freer in a certain position, they should strive for that. But I have a very hard time with the idea of just leaning left in my chair. That's somehow an expression of chiras. And I think, personally, yeah, go ahead.